I want to introduce myself for those that don't know me. My name is Valdemar Gaitan Jr. I teach life group on Wednesdays and a Spanish one on Sunday mornings. So I want to welcome everybody here this morning. And those that are watching online, I want to welcome those too, and for taking the time to being here with us to hear God's word. So with that, let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I want to give you the honor and all the glory. Just want to thank you, God, for this opportunity to stand here before you in your church, Father, and allow me to share your word, Father. And I just ask that your Holy Spirit just use me today according to your will, Father. And Father, I just ask, Father, that you just open the minds and the hearts that are here today, Father. And if someone that you can convict today, Father, let today be the day of salvation. Thank you. And I ask this in your precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, Todd gave a series that he ended in September on spiritual maturity called Leveled Up. Very good series. And then Ross continued it in these last two messages that he brought. So guess what? I'm doing the same thing. We're going to emphasize in missions, but I also want to emphasize in our spiritual maturity and who we are. I struggled with the title that I wanted to give it, so I just named it The Call, because that's basically what it is. So if you open your Bibles to to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, this is one of my favorite verses that I love, and it's probably a well-known one. And this is what the scripture says. It says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession." Don't you think that's wonderful? "So that you may proclaim the excellency of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." In other words, he has awakened you from death to life. Here Peter begins chapter 2 by telling us Christians to put away the negative attitudes and our actions. He advises us to grow in spiritual maturity. So today I want to bring two points that I want to bring today on this verse that we just read. And the first one is going to be your identity, and the second one is going to be your call. And if you look at your outline, knowing your identity is essential to your Christian walk. There's a truth there too. Identity is one of the most fundamental aspects of human existence. Church, we wrestle with the question, who am I? Or what's my purpose? That's our nature. That's what we do. But knowing your identity, you acknowledge your purpose, your fulfillment that you can only find in Christ. You don't find it in your church. You don't find it in your denomination. You find it only in Christ. Your identity determines your Christian walk. I like looking back at Moses when he realized who he was. His life took a whole new direction. You know, if you look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, the author writes, "By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he persevered as though seeing him who is unseen." Learning your identity does two things. It gives you the courage to let go of your past, and it gives you the courage to walk without fear. When you receive Jesus by faith, God forgives your sins. He gives you a whole new identity in Christ. And we sometimes call that being born again. Once Moses discovered his identity, he focused on his purpose. When God has given you or given us a new identity, we go from becoming enemies of God to become children of God. We're no longer are seen as sinners, but as saints. And I do want to tell a little story here. I came here probably
2014. And all my life, I believed that I was a Christian sinner. I was a Christian sinner. Until one day I came here, I sat down, and Pastor John threw that Bible and slapped me right in the face with it. He stood up here and he says, you need to quit calling yourself sinners as Christians because we're saints that fall into sin. And I was like, ooh, that hurt. But, like always, I had to go home and look through it. And guess what? The Lord gave me a slap too. And then my whole perspective of who I am changed after that, because I honestly, truly, I always thought that we were Christian sinners, but we're not. We're saints that we fall into sin. Because sinner is someone that practices sin. And take what John says, he who is born of the Spirit cannot practice sin because the seed of God is in him. He can no longer sin. And I read that so many times and never clicked. Never clicked until Brother John threw that little verse at me. Thank you, sir. I got this quote from a ministry, Desiring God. It says here, putting your identity in Christ isn't just one and done deal. It's a lifelong journey of growing closer to God, discovering who he created you to be, and living out his purpose for your life. Church, Scripture reveals your true identity. You're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified by the blood of Christ, you're regenerated, you're renewed by the Holy Spirit. You are a child of God. You're a saint. You're a new creation. You're a temple of the living God. You're a servant of God. You are the ambassador of God. You are the light of the Lord. You're adopted. And you're more than conquerors. And you're citizens of heaven. You know, yesterday I celebrated 4 years since my wife, Marcella, was called to heaven. And I'm happy with that because I know where she's at, because of who she was. But church, God also gives us power. Gives us power that sometimes that we don't know we do have. Power of prayer. Believe it or not, even power to heal. Because God gives you that power. I don't heal, God does. But through prayer, he gives you that power. He gives you the power to make that next step when you fear to go bring the gospel to someone. How many times have you been at work or in school or at Walmart and you see a friend and you just feel inside that you got to bring the gospel to that person, but then you have fear because what he's going to say about you? Let me tell you something. God gives you power to say something. I came to Christ when I was 16 years old. A pastor that we had at that Spanish church in Davao, Iglesia Bautista Memorial, I was very active. I went visiting with a pastor. And at the time, we had a very aggressive pastor. And when you, as a Spanish person, you know, you go to these Spanish homes to visit. And I've been kicked out of houses. The Lord showed me not to fear when you go in to bring the gospel, but let me tell you something, and I'll be honest truth. I have been kicked out of houses. I've been called devil. I have been called evil. Not because of me, because the pastor that we had. I don't want to mention his name because he'd probably be hearing, so. But he was a very aggressive pastor in how he spoke to people, which helped me also learn that you have to be gentle and be humble to people when you speak, no matter what denomination they are. But I just want you to know that we do have the power. And this brings me to the next point that I want to bring this morning. It's, if you look at your outline, it's knowing your call, missions. But before I go to the second point, I want to share something that came into my mind. I just added, I had to reprint my whole notes and everything when I did this because it came into my mind about it. But we need to understand that in missions, we deal with diversity. And we must have the love of Jesus in our hearts for us to be part of missions. I was very blessed to have the opportunity to go to Bolivia a few years ago. And it's different. I learned a little bit about the culture because I befriended a van driver. We had two van drivers. I don't know what year was it when we went, but we had two van drivers, and one of them I befriended pretty good, and we got to talking, and he gave me a little bit about his culture and the struggles that, you know, they go through. You know, I prayed with them, and it was. He was so anxious to introduce his wife to me. And that last day when he came to pick us up to go to the airport, well, you know, the van was full. And actually, I thought they were going to leave me because he was late. But he showed up and the van was full, so I set him up in the front, and he had his wife in the middle console. I don't know if anybody here that went that day remember that she was in the middle console. And she introduced me to her, and we talked, and I talked to her and everything. So it's something that you have to understand. We deal with diversity. We deal with different many cultures and different type of cultures. One verse that I love to bring out is in Romans chapter 12, verse 10 and 11. And this is what it says. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. And this is the key in verse 11. Not lagging behind in diligence, but fervent in spirit in serving the Lord. Lord doesn't want us to be lazy. He wants us to be determined in our goal and our focus and who we are as Christians. And when we go out in missions, our purpose is to bring the gospel. That's who we are. We are privileged to live in a world of many cultures. We can learn a lot of each other's culture, but as Christians, we live one in Christ. Living in the faith together is more about not noticing gender, not noticing race, or the culture. Living in faith as body of Christ is all about loving God, period. That's what it is. Loving God, period. But I want to go back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. When Peter gives us our identity, who we are, that we're a chosen people, that we are a royal priesthood and a holy nation and a people for God's own possession, he gives us our calling. So that you may proclaim the excellency of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. If you look in your notes, there's an insight. Sharing the gospel is not a job or an obligation. It's your nature. It's who we are. We don't come to church because we feel obligated to go to church. We don't give our tithes because we feel obligated to give our tithes. We do it because it's our nature. It's who we are now. You know, Paul says that if you are in Christ, because if you are in Christ, If you're not, it don't pertain to you, but if you are in Christ, you're a new creation. The old has what? Gone. And you're now a new, with a new nature, new way of thinking, new way of talking, new way of walking. So it's our nature. It should never be an obligation to come to church. It should never be an obligation to come to church. It should always be the nature of being here. And I'm going to be honest with you, and I'll stand here before you as a church and before God. I don't think that I've had, of all the years that I've been as a Christian, when I came to Christ, 16 years old, I don't recall ever getting up in the morning not wanting to go to church. I'm being honest with you. My clothes is already ironed the day before. I have it all set up. My alarm turns on at 7 o'clock. I slide down and get on my knees and give the Lord thanks. I get up, wash up, and guess what? I'm here at church probably about 15 to 8. It's just something that I love. And when you love something, it's not stressful. Right? I mean, those that hunt, those that fish, they spend money, they spend time, they have their bad times, but you know what? They don't get upset. It's their nature. They love it. They don't stress out about it because they love what they're doing. And as Christians, we need to love what we do. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9, David gives this advice to his son Solomon. And he says this, "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him wholeheartedly and with a willing mind." Imagine where Solomon would have been if he did all his work just because he felt obligated to do it. That was some good advice that David gave his son. But we have the power. We have the power to level up. We have the power to go the next step. The Bible says that God gives us power. And if you look in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, this is what God says. "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord." Church, we have the power. We have the power. There's a truth in your outline. We have the power of the Holy Spirit within us to proclaim the testimony of our salvation. You don't have to be a theologian to bring the gospel. And I repeat this again. You don't have to be a theologian to preach the gospel. All you have to do is share your life experience you have with Christ. God gave this same power to the apostles. Luke writes in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, a well-known verse. He said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Church, let me tell you something. We are the temple of the living God. Holy Spirit's already in us. And there's no excuse. There's no excuse. And he says, "And you shall be my witness both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria And as far as the remotest parts of the earth, he mentions three mission fields here. That's what Luke does, mentions three mission fields. He mentions the international field. He mentions the national field and the local field. The local is Jerusalem. The national is Judea. And the international is Samaria and the remotest parts of the earth. And church, Harmony Hill Baptist Church supports every one of these missions. Every one of these mission fields. Our international includes Nigeria, West Africa, Thailand, South Asia, which is Nepal, and we're looking into the border vision in 2025. Our national includes Resonant Church in Houston. I think in November they announced that they're going to be a trip to Houston. And our local includes Coston Elementary, Pregnancy Center, Seasons of Hope, the Mosaic Center, and I pronounced it right, Men's Field House, Buckner, and they just announced that starting in November we're going to have ELSL classes. That's also a very good mission. Remember last time when we were here, y'all had ESL classes. I think my wife was helping out, and I always showed up with her just to greet when they were coming in. And at the time, we didn't have a Spanish life group. But I had a few people that came to me and wanted to find out if they had a Spanish service here. And it was hard to say no. But now I can't say that. We have one at 10 o'clock. So that's going to be my goal. Last Sunday, I had a church deacon come up here and give welcome in the morning. I don't remember his name. But he talked about missions, and one thing that really hit me was when he said it's in our backyard. We're all not called to go to an international mission field. We have missionaries down there that are doing that job that God has called them. Trust me, I was in shock when we first came here that 2016 when the Lazarines, they committed their lives to go up there. And they were up here and trust me, when they committed their lives, they committed their lives. I was like, wow. But no, I was a call for that. It takes special people to do that, that God calls for that. But we're all called to support that mission. And I know that our church, they send group of students. I think some students are heading out next year, I think, if I'm not mistaken. I said on the notes. But we're all called for that. And the same thing is with our national. We're there to help out and support those missions. And then you have your local ones. I had the privilege to be in Bolivia. I had the privilege to go to a Resonant Church. And I also had the privilege to serve at Coston Elementary one evening. My wife and I, we did that. So we're all called for that. But I do want to bring something else that really to me was a shocker. And I hope I don't step on nobody's toes here, okay? Because I'm very good at doing that since I'm not the pastor of this church. But I came here and I've been in a Spanish church all my life. Spanish churches are very small churches. They need a lot of help financially, and they need a lot of help and support, you know, with children's ministry, ushering, and a lot of other stuff. Because they're small churches. It's rare to find a mega church. Usually they run to about maybe 100, 150, especially in this area here. And all the churches I've been through, it's been around 60 to 70. And when I was in Davao, got up to about 120, somewhere around there. But there was always the need for help. When my wife and I came here in 2014, first of all, I just want to bring this out. When we walked in these doors, my wife was kind of hesitant to come here because it was uppity-duppity church, is what she said, called it. She didn't know y'all, but that's what she thought it was. But I convinced her because I heard Pastor John speak at the Unity Association meeting one time, and I love what he said and how he brought it out. So I told her, I said, well, let's go visit the church. You know, I love the way Pastor John spoke, you know. So I convinced her. We came in these doors, and to me, this is just me. I didn't know that later till after the service. But when I walked in this church, it was like, you know, when you're outside doing the yard and you come in, you're all sweaty and hot, and you open that door of your house and you got that cool breeze from the air conditioner hit you. It just hits you and just feels so good. Well, God's spirit hit me that day when I opened that door here. And it felt good. I didn't know about my wife, but I felt that way. And I didn't want to say nothing because I didn't want to, you know, put her on the spot or anything. So when we got through with the service here, got back in the car and I looked at her and says, so what you think? She looked at me and she says, babe, this is our church. And I said, what convinced you? As soon as I opened that door, I feel God's spirit just hit me, and I felt God's love in this church. And I'm going to be honest with you, church, I still feel God's love in this church. But what I wanted to get to is this. We sat down. We always sat down right there where we were. They tell us to move around sometimes. It's kind of hard to do. But we're sitting down, and Pastor John, you know, he brought his, what, right before his message, I think, he came out and he said, we need your help. We need volunteers for children's ministry and so on and so on. And I was like, what? And I looked around. I said, how can this be possible? The church got two services in their pack. I can understand if this was a small church, but how can a church this big struggle with volunteers? Church, know your call. Within the church is mission too. Your church asks for help. Don't play hard to get. Know your nature. And just say, where can I start? Because that's what we're called for. It's not just international fields or the national field or the local field, but it's also within your church. I had to bring that in, Pastor. Well, Pastor Todd's not here, so. Because it's true. And honestly, truly, I was actually in shock because I grew up in a small church, Spanish church, and I thought that was normal because it was a small church. But when I came to this big church and they had the same struggles, I was like, wow. I burned my wife's ears at home just surprised. Okay, they struggle too. I said, but I can't believe it, babe. But that's our calling. That's who we are. I'm going to end it with this and a verse. When I first came here, I think it was in 2016, there was a book, a devotional book, and I got this quote from this devotional book, and I love this devotional book so much that for the last 8 years, 7 years, I've been reading the devotionals every day. I finish it, I start all over. And it's the Voice of Martyrs, Extreme Devotion. If y'all never had it, find it, it's good. I love it. And I found this in one of their devotionals, and this is what it reads. A mission is not so much a place as it is an attitude, one's approach towards life. A missionary is simply someone who embodies this determination and single focus and expresses it in everyday living. The everyday world is your mission field. When you are determined to further God's kingdom. And that's what we're called for, to further God's kingdom, church. And I leave it with this verse in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. All the way to 3. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love and being diligent, there's that word again, diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit in bond of peace. That's God's word. So, church, we're going to pray, and then we're going to have a song that's going to be bilingual. Very nice song. When Joe told me, I think last week, that that's what they were going to sing, or 2 weeks ago, I was very happy because that's a very beautiful song, and they're going to do it bilingual today. But as the song plays, start evaluating yourself. Look at yourself and how you are living. Yes, we're coming to church and sit down. But church, God didn't create us and didn't call us to warm those benches. He called us to work for His kingdom. Not because we have to. Because we want to. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I want to give you the honor and all the glory. Thank you again for this day, Father. And I just ask that your Holy Spirit just convict and touch the hearts of your church. And for those that are here new also, Father, that if they don't know their identity, let today be their day of salvation. Father, thank you. Thank you for everyone that's here today, Father. I also continue to bless our Pastor Todd, Father, that you continue to guide him as he leads your church. Thank you again for this opportunity, Father. We love you. And Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.